in a capitalist economy, in a bankers economy, money is issued in the form of credit. Credit hit the markets in massive amounts, and credit immediately turns into debt and IOU after it's spent. Once that credit is triggered, it becomes debt. So what we focused on after 2020 was the massive amount of credit injected in the system. I think somebody said 70% of U.S. dollars printed since 1776 were issued in 2020-21. All right? Now, this is what, 3-4 years later, that credit has now turned into debt. It's become debt. All right? And we're running on gas and fumes.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, one of my earliest guests who's been with us almost since the beginning. Hard to believe, Daryl, it's 14 years now we've been doing this. And we keep getting closer and closer to the abyss, but we haven't quite gone over the edge yet. But just maybe, but we're getting so close now that we can't help but go over the edge.
The edge, Carrie, is the only thing that's left. It's like you kick the can down the road, and all of a sudden, there's no more road. And the central bankers are kicking like hell. That can is starting to bounce off of infinity. And we are on the edge. We are on the edge of the abyss. I believe that we are at the point that we've been talking about for 14 years. When we started talking, I believe that we were going to collapse then, all right? Mm-hmm. And we didn't. We didn't because of one thing. The central bankers pulled a trick out of the hat they had never done before. It was called quantitative easing. Mm-hmm. Before, central bankers had always manipulated the credit and debt balance in society, growth, you know, contraction, blah, 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 with the interest rate, all right? Things got a little tight, you loosen the interest rate, things slow down, you let the interest rate go down to speed up growth because there's more credit in the system, blah, 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 blah. So it became that's how it was. It was a card trick. And they were the ones who issued the cards. What happened is in 2008, it was so bad that lowering the interest rates down to zero didn't work. The collapse happened, Carrie, in 2008 in September, okay? In December, they went down to zero, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, a year and a half before, they had been at 5.5%, all right? Now, they're at zero, and nothing happened, okay? And that's why on January 1st, in the Genesis blockchain of Bitcoin, when it first was issued, there was a statement that Alistair Darling, essentially the Bank of England, was going to do going to the till. And it was a program called quantitative easing. And this is the first time central bankers were forced to do that. Before, to make it go up and down, all they did was adjust the balance, the interest rate. It's like jiggling the handle on your toilet. Your toilet, you know, everyone's not going to blink, hey, it's running again. And you're going, man, I'm not going to hire that plumber. He came in here, I paid him $450 and the damn thing was running the next week. So you go up there and jiggle it. All right? And it stops until it doesn't. Until something is so bad in the system below that you actually have to call the plumber. All right? Well, generally, the handle is what the interest rate thing was. In 2008, it was so bad. And it never happened. It happened before, in the Great Depression. That's why we were convinced when you and I started talking, we're headed for the Great Depression. And we still are. All right? But we didn't expect the QE to come in. QE, trillions of dollars on the books of central banks. They had never had a negative balance on their books, all right? On the books of central banks and flooded markets with money. Now, what did that do in 2008? The money, because of the way it's issued in a credit in what we call capitalism, it goes only to the people who are worthy of the credit, to the banks, not to you and me. To the bank. So the banks got basically 0% interest on their money. All right? Now, the hope was that money would go out and vivify, restore the economy, we start buying and selling. Well, to do that, we all needed cheap credit. But the banks, because they had taken such massive hits to their balance sheets, they weren't going to let that credit go for cheap. They arbitraged it. All right? They were in a crisis. They knew their customers were in a less financial stable position now than they were before the crash. And when you're in that position, they're not going to cut you when they slack. You're now more risk. Before, they looked at you as the cash cow. Now, you may be the cash cow, but you're wheezy. Okay? I mean, you don't look so good today. All right? Your interest rate starts going up.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And ever since then, they kept trying to raise the interest rate, and the cow kept falling down. They were never able to normalize the interest rates. All right? And what happened is they really tried to start it in 2016 because they knew cheap interest rates is like steroids. It works for a while. We all know somebody who was in the hospital who had problems with this or that, and they got to use steroids. But we all know that they know that continuous steroids is going to kill her. So what the central banks have done since 2008 is continually tried to raise the interest rates back up. All right? But every time they did, the cow started stumbling. All right? And got and laid down again. Well, an intervening event happened. And in 2020, COVID hit. All right? Now, credit debt-based economies are it's like a carburetor in a car. You adjust the ratio between the air and the gasoline, okay? And to juice it up, you either put more air, I don't know, but that's what it is. They put a supercharger on it, okay? But you always need to have a flow going in or the engine's going to stop.
Going to die.
And it's going to die. Well, what happened is that in 2020, the engine contracted. It didn't slow down. The cars didn't start slowing down. You know, when the economy starts slowing down and we watch it, like the PMI, the contraction, oh, it's slowing down. Growth is slowing and we get worried. Well, it never, ever really contracts except in like a depression. In April of 2020, when COVID first hit and everybody figured out, hey, maybe you ought to stay home today, all right? Economies all around the world contracted by an average of 45%. That's
unheard of.
That's unheard of. Unheard of. So what they did, and they knew where we're headed. So what they did was they poured so much money in. They did QE on a level. Everybody got money in QE.
Yeah.
I mean,
helicopter.
Everyone. And bankers don't give money to anybody. If a banker offers you money, Carrie, you should put yourself in the position of a little girl and a stranger coming in and candy. All right? That banker does not want you to enjoy that thing for the reason, for the candy bar. It wants you to take it because he's got plans. All right? So they poured all this money in. And what? Because in a capitalist economy, in a banker's economy, money is issued in the form of credit. Credit hit the markets in massive amounts, and credit immediately turns into debt and IOU after it's spent. Once that credit is triggered, it becomes debt. So what we focused on after 2020 was the massive amount of credit injected in the system. I think somebody said 70% of U.S. dollars credits since 1776 were issued in 2020-21. All right? Now, this is what, 3-4 years later, that credit has now turned into debt. It's become debt. All right? And we're running on gas and fumes as we speak. Now, last Friday, Kerry, one of the headlines was the markets reached another high today. Okay? And it said in the last, I think, 2 months or quarter, there were 22 record days. 22 record, higher, that never had happened before. All right? And I wrote in my little note, because I've got this my website, DR Shoot, okay? And I post articles that I think are pertinent. And I used to put my little comments in. I know, it's just news. I put a comment in on that article for the first time in like 2 years. And my comment was, it's brightest before the crash.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to, it's darkest before the dawn. They give us hope.
Right.
And the flip side is, and just as true is, it's brightest before the crash. Well, the next Monday, it started falling. And the last 2 days, as of yesterday, the Dow has fallen over 700 points in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're reaching that point. And this is because the tsunami of credit has turned into a tidal wave of debt. And, Kerry, I was thinking about what I was going to say today. And I know that people think, oh, this can happen. What we call are black swans, you know, like an endogenous event where the system itself internally breaks down, like, you know, the repo markets or something like that, or an exogenous event, like a war, okay, can cause the event. What I think, the critical piece is neither endogenous nor exogenous. The critical piece that's going to cause it to fall is a collapse of confidence.
Yeah.
It's a confidence game. And as long as you're confident, you're going to borrow money to buy the house, you're going to buy the car, and they need you to borrow money to buy the house, to buy the car, to go to school, to pay off, you know, to blah, blah, blah. And as soon as you become free, you're going to pull in your, that vacation doesn't look so good, blah, blah, blah. And once it starts slowing down at the macro level, everything slows down. This is why China is in such trouble. China is fascinating because they're like the little kid that grew up real fast. Okay? Real fast. I mean, 40 years ago, they had bicycles 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they got Porsches. Okay?
They were junk.
Now they're like us on credit. But it happened so fast because, you know, the West, capitalism happened for like, 200 years. In China, it happened in 40. All right? And then you talk about bubbles. The Chinese love real estate. So everything went into real estate. And once the bubble popped, the real estate bubble popped in 2020, all of a sudden, the Chinese economy started contracting because now they don't trust anything. And and they shouldn't. I mean, I'm wrong. You should trust things when they're expanding and distrust them when they're contracting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And the trick is in between. We've been in that in between area since you and I started talking 15 years ago.
Purgatory, Darryl.
Purgatory, yeah. And we were headed towards hell. You know, I know a whole bunch of people at the top who haven't cashed out of the market yet. What they're looking at, oh, man, this is closer to heaven than I've ever been.
Yeah.
Which is true. But they don't understand. They're closer to hell than they've ever been to.
Yeah.
And the chances of them reaching heaven are zero compared to the chances of them hitting hell.
Right.
Today. That's where we are.
Yeah, well, you know, that greed. What did, what's his name, Bernard Baruch say? I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10%.
Yeah. That's what it is. You don't know when it turns. And, I think Jan Husman said, everybody is afraid because the spikes have been so huge, and the naysayers have been proved wrong so many times that if you have a tendency and if you want that last dollar on the table, you're front loaded to stay in the game. You're front loaded, and this is just how it is. You know, my father lost a huge amount of money in the stock market. You know, he was an engineer. And huge amount of money. It was not a huge amount of money, but for him, it was a huge amount of money because when mutual funds got in, and my father's very cautious, but there was so much money in mutual funds, he finally got in there. Like a whole lot of people did in the 60s. He finally got in there. And then the rug got pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this is what happened. In 1983, after the rug got pulled out, the Dow was at 777.
Yeah.
And what's it now? 35,000? I have no idea what it's at. It's, you know, I don't watch the damn thing, but it was at 777. This is the biggest, and that's when, that's
39,000, 39,183 at this moment, Darryl.
Wow.
13 points today.
Yeah, from 777. And what they've done, Gary, because so much depends on it. They pushed aside gold because they knew gold in the 1980s. Gold went from $35 an ounce to what, $650 in 9 years. That's huge in 9 years. Okay, huge. And they knew that, and they saw it was like they were watching a crystal ball, and they thought, "Holy smokes, we're back again." People now know gold is like a barometer of systemic distress. And they knew gold, the price of gold, if it went up, people would get worried.
The canary in the coal mine.
They got the price of gold down. So what they did is they started beating it down. And now, when you know, in 2008, when the collapse happened, when the first financial collapse happened,
right,
gold started skyrocketing. The big boys got the bank of they got Switzerland to sell 22 tons of gold directly into the market in the spring of 2009. Directly. And it shoved gold down. So now, in 2024, nobody except the all true believers in gold still believe that gold's going to be the last man standing.
Right.
And it is. I mean, I believe it. You believe it.
Yeah.
But everybody else out there, the boys.
Okay. So what about Bitcoin? My feeling is like the embracing of Bitcoin by all the institutions is just to throw
more money. It's the death now.
Throw more money away from gold into cryptos, right?
Hey, this is what that is. They're the equivalent of my father in the 1960s. Yeah. Institutions, I call institutional money the slow boys, okay? Wall Street is a dance between the fast boys and the slow boys. Now, who wins the dance? The people who call the dance in the first place, the fast boys, all right? The fast boys need the slow boys at the dance.
Yeah.
All right? So they do everything to get them in. Now, what do they sell the slow boys? Debt. They sell them the exhaust off of their fumes. IOUs. All right? So the slow boys have government IOUs. All right? Every corporate IOUs. Then in 2008, they got bundled IOUs of subprime loans. They even got that shoved down their throat because the other ones weren't turning anything. But that's who it is. The slow boys are now sitting there. They've lost so much money up and down. They're going to Bitcoin. The fast boys, now the fast boys have an ETF, they can sell the goddamn shit to the poor slow boys. Mm-hmm. And the slow boys go, yeah, look, it went up. It went up and up because they're really conservative. And all they got to do is say, hey, Bill, this stuff was worth less than a penny 2009, and now look what it's worth. Don't think that it's lost 20 grand yesterday. Think that it's gone up 80 grand since it started. Yeah. And Bill goes, yeah, you're right, as they hand him another bottle of champagne and pitch him, you know, another pension fund. And that's what's happening. They're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's quite a pickle we're in, huh?
Well, I just thought, here we are, Gary, talking the week after Easter.
Yeah.
Now, what a great time that, and it's, but it's true. You and I have been talking about this since 2000. I mean, for 14 years, we watched it happen. And the question has always been underneath it. How long is this going to go on? When's it going to crash? Because like I told you before, once you see there's a structural flaw, and you and I are like monetary engineers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we study money. All right. The other people study what money builds. All right. We study money. And once you see a structural flaw, you go, holy smokes, what you're building is going to crack.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been fixated on the effect of the flaw. Everybody else is going, man, this stuff, look what you could do with it. And we watch them go, wow, look what it's going to do to you. And they don't listen to us. And we know why.
It's the tofu drag economy, right?
Oh man, this is what it is. So I told my friend Marshall, he likes to be optimistic. I said he thought this was really funny. I said someday, Marshall, we're gonna owe Chicken Little an apology.
Yeah, and,
you know, Chicken Little's gonna be right someday.
The sky, will fall eventually.
The sky will fall eventually. The end of the road is going to come. You can kick the can all you want, but the end of the road is going to come.
Right.
You know, and one of my sayings I wrote a long time ago was, we borrowed from tomorrow, and guess what?
Tomorrow's here.
Tomorrow's here.
Yeah, well, you remember that song? It was a theme song from a movie in the 60s, Let's Forget About Tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Yeah. Let's forget about Del Monte. It was an Italian. I think Gina Lola Brigida was in the movie.
We ought to bring that one back and put that and do a fake ad or Goldman Sachs.
Let's
or JP Morgan.
Not tomorrow.
Let's forget about tomorrow because tomorrow never comes.
And Frank Sinatra sang it too.
Oh God. It's
yeah.
It's the hope of the desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that movie. I think Gina Lola Brigida was in it, but
you can't forget Gina Lola Brigida.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, AI. How does AI fit into all of this, Daryl? And what's your take on it?
AI.
Thought about it.
Okay, AI is the last bubble. It is a bubble. Okay, and it's not that it doesn't have value, but it doesn't have the value that they think it has. Okay, they think that AI is going to give them answers that they don't have. And it's true. It is going to give answers that they don't have, but it's not going to give them the answers that they want to have.
We don't know if it's lying or not, right?
You know, even that, because all it is based on our collective thoughts. It's nothing new. They take as much data from the internet as they can, much chatter. And you and I know some of that chatter is true, and 99% of it is bullshit. How much chatter out there is devoted to what we're talking about? Less than 0.1%, minuscule. All the money chatter, if you're going to go do money chatter, it's about blah, blah, blah. And so if you ask AI a question about money, it's going to give you the common, a more fuller, in-depth answer to the common bullshit that's going around.
Yeah.
And that's AI. And these are desperate times. People are looking for answers, and AI is the last of the desperate answers in the desperate times.
Hey, well, maybe we're better off using an eight ball, you know?
Well, you are, in a sense. I mean, what was it, those stock market things? The joke was hitting it with and then they had the stock market prognosticators, and then you had the dartboard, you know? It's a crapshoot, Gary. It always has been. That's why alcohol has always been popular.
Yeah. You know? Hey, that song, Let's Forget About Tomorrow, was from the movie The Yellow Rolls Royce, which was from the 60s. And I actually saw that movie in Radio City with my mother, God knows how many years ago. It was a 1964 film. But I think it was there like 67, I saw it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that title, boy, for a reason.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So AI, though, but it is pushing the limits. All right. It's like this godlike creation, what it's being portrayed as, but pushing the limits, right?
Yes, it is. It is. It is extraordinary. You know, my son, in fact, Benjamin, he graduated from MIT in 1994. And at that time, he was thinking of getting into AI. I mean, Marvin Minsky was at MIT. Minsky was known as the father of artificial intelligence. All right. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking of getting into artificial intelligence. And what I was opposed to AI even then. All right. And for philosophical reasons. All right. Because all was, to me, and it is a bunch of thought forms of our humanity, you know, jumbled together, and you roll the dice, and you ask the compendium of all this past bullshit, and speculate what the answer is. It's just nuts. It's like we're looking into a mirror, a more sophisticated mirror, a bigger mirror than we've ever looked into before, but it's the same mirror. And it was Narcissus, whoever his name was, the guy. We ain't no different. Yeah. We've just, you know, we've got a new mirror. We've got AI is the latest mirror with a very high-tech, fancy frame around. And we're still looking at our fucking reflections, thinking it's going to get something that that we're looking for.
You know, and did you see that demo of the AI robot, like, picking up an apple and guy says, I'm hungry. Give me some food. And the thing looks around, picks up an apple, and hands it to him. I'll find that. I'll put it in the show notes. It's amazing.
Right.
It says, hey, put these things away. And it puts all this stuff in the tray, in a drying rack. You know, it's spectacular.
Yeah, no, it you know what it does? It mimics us. You know, we're fascinated that we can get machines to sort of act like us. I mean, that's fascinating. But Carrie, look at who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what we've done to the planet. I mean, and that's the scary part. If you've got machines like us, except who aren't even alive, and we've about destroyed the planet already, what are they going to do? You know?
Going to make it worse, huh? Until they take over. Until they take over.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody was fixated on Frankenstein. I think we should have gotten a psychological readout of the professor who made him up. We should do a story of his. Let's do his bio. What caused him to do that?
All right, Darryl. It's been great speaking with you. Dr. Schoen, schoon.com. That's where you find Darryl's postings. And hey, make sure you sign up at our site, Financial Survival Network. Free newsletter going out shortly. Darryl, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Keep on keeping on.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.